from the theme park capital of the world, bringing you the latest in theme park and pop culture news. Welcome to the Thrill Geek Podcast.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Thrill Geek Podcast. We've been insanely busy, and we're still rocking and rolling here.
Hey, it's episode 69,
yeah.
Dude. I'm sorry, we couldn't help ourselves.
Moment of silence, air guitar. I'm doing the air guitar right now, you can't see it. Yes, we are on episode 69, although I stopped saying the episode number a while back. We had to pay homage to our good friends, Bill and Ted.
Yes.
So, once again this week, we have tons to talk about, so... but first things first, last week I talked about Thrill Geek Travel, and I kind of wanted to talk about a little bit more exactly what it is, how you guys can use it that listen to the podcast, and, you know, because I really didn't talk about it a whole lot last week.
So what is Thrill Geek Travel, Clint?
Well, simply put, Thrill Geek Travel is kind of a new, like I said in the last episode, expansion of Thrill Geek that I started, and I, Jen, who is our rep from MEI Travel, which is what this is through, she contacted me probably several months ago. She contacted me about partnering up, and I acknowledged her, and I said, okay, that sounds like a good idea, you know, because I wanted to do some more things with Thrill Geek, and, one thing I've noticed with Thrill Geek over the last few years, not at the beginning, because we didn't have the traction yet, the footprint, I guess you could say.
Yeah.
But within the last few years, I've noticed we've been starting to get a lot more traveling questions, you know, people wanting to plan their vacation. So this was one way of me kind of taking care of that, because I'm not a travel expert. I'm a theme park expert. I know the ins and outs of Disney and stuff, but when it comes to like the fine tuned details of planning your vacation, I can be a little foggy.
Yeah. And I think, I mean, you, me, and also, hey, Emily is here, by the way.
Yes. Yeah, I've just been sitting in silence.
Sorry, Emily, I just dove right into it.
It's okay, I'm a part of the team now.
You, me, and Emily, I mean, I'm sure, you know, when people have questions about Disney World, Universal, you know, anything around here, we get asked those questions. You know,
sure.
I'm a crazy person. I just want to play tour guide all the time. So
yeah, I mean, it's I get random. I mean, Facebook friends, you know, who I worked with 10 years ago. It's like, oh, I'm coming to Disney. What do I need to blah 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 blah. So
I think that's the biggest thing. Is, you know, you mentioned that. I think the biggest thing for me has been immediate family and immediate friends, like friends I have on Facebook, like really really close friends. They know I'm a huge theme park nerd, so they come to me. And they start asking me, when should I go? You know, I know those sorts of questions, like, when should I go? You know, the basic travel planning questions. But when it starts getting down to, like, the nitty-gritties of planning your vacation, that's where I needed help. And that's where Thrill Geek Travel comes in. You know, over the last few weeks, maybe month or two, I've been working on getting the webpage up, talking with Jen, getting things going. And so... that was kind of, in a nutshell, how and why I wanted to start Thrill Geek Travel. It'll be an outlet for people. I'm starting a Facebook group, which I haven't launched yet. So we're going to be starting a Facebook group for people to go into and ask travel questions and kind of talk with one another. You heard that here first on the podcast.
I think, you know, I mean, some people are like, why use a travel agent, especially in this day and age when you book online? And
because it's so much easier.
We have talked on this podcast many times about how complex a Walt Disney World vacation has become. And it is much easier to have someone at no charge, book your rooms, get your tickets, book you on whatever you, your flights, whatever you need, who will find the best deals for you, mm-hmm. who will say if you book 6 months, a year in advance, over that time, if better deals come along,
they'll let you know.
They'll let you know and give you the option of rebooking at a different price. I've used travel agents before. I mean, and we're not just talking Disney World stuff. We're talking she can book cruises, you know, Universal. And especially for cruises, and especially anything, if you've got multiple family members coming from different parts of the country, it is much easier to use a travel agent who everyone books through that travel agent, and they take care of everything. I mean, we got married, Sin and I got married last year. We went on a cruise. 25 of the people who went to the wedding went on the cruise with us. We all had them go through one travel agent. And it all saved us a lot of money, and we got extra stuff because, you know, if you book as a group, the more people you book in a lot of places, you're going to get an even better deal. So it's
and it saves you time, too.
It saves it. I could not have imagined having to plan a wedding and deal with everybody's cruise bookings at the same time.
Exactly.
But now, I mean, coming here has in many ways become very complex. And it's much easier to let someone else do it for you because they're going to find whatever deal you can find, they're going to find.
And sometimes better. I'm amazed at what, you know, excuse me, what Jen has found. And, you know, some of the deals she sent me, it's mind blowing the stuff that travel agents get that if you're an everyday Joe, you will miss some of these deals, and there's some really good deals out there that you'll miss if you just go to whatever the official theme park, you know, planning site is. These travel agents really know their stuff, and they dig down deep to find you the best deals. So I have the web page up. It's thrillgeek.com/travel, easy to access. And we have some details on there, like we just kind of briefly discussed why to choose a travel agent and just some of the services that Jen will offer. Like I said, like Barry mentioned, she doesn't do just Disney. She doesn't do just Universal. She'll do cruise lines. She'll do, I think she does Hershey Park. She'll do other theme parks. So if you guys or anybody listening, or if you know any of your family members planning a vacation, be sure to check out Thrill Geek Travel at thrillgeek.com/travel. I have a form up there. It's an easy form. You just fill out your name, put in your email, when your vacation starts, when it ends, and your destination, whether it's Universal, Disney World. That's all she needs to know to get going, and she'll get back with you and rock and roll. And also, I'm going to be updating the Thrill Geek travel page with offers. She's constantly sending me new Disney World offers, Universal offers. Obviously, those are the big ones.
Yeah. But she can book Royal Caribbean, Sandals and Beaches Resort, Carnival Cruise Line, Disneyland Resort, Princess Cruise Line.
Yep. So I have up there now, I have Halloween Horror Night vacation packages. She can book those. Disney World, the Sun and Fun Family Package, which is a really good deal right now. All of those are on there, and she sent me one today for Fort Wilderness Campgrounds. They're 20% off right now. So she's always sending me ones, and I'll constantly be updating that Thrill Geek travel page. So that's it. That's Thrill Geek travel. So
yay, Jen.
Yay.
Yes. So moving on, let's get into the fun stuff. First things first, we're going to talk really quick about St. Patrick's Day. It's coming up here, so we got some details about St. Patrick's Day celebrations at Universal, and one of my favorite places to celebrate St. Patrick's Day, even though I'm not Irish, Raglan Road. For their St. Patrick's Day festival.
Yeah, and it definitely looks like, I mean, we'll talk about Universal first. They really, and there goes the dogs.
I was about to say, which one was that?
And they seem to have, like, sort of upped their St. Patrick's Day celebrations this year with extra stuff. Not just going on, every year they've had the St. Patrick's Day celebration at Pat O'Brien's, which will be this Sunday, March 17th, from 2 p.m. to 2 a.m. And, of course, after 7... you have to be 21 and up, and it's $12 per person plus tax. that's going on. And for local fans, Off Kilter will be playing again, which they have a pretty huge fan base around here, and they're a fun band to watch play.
I've never been to the Pat O'Brien's. I'd like to go sometime. Bet you'd be
Yeah, it's you know, they block off that section of, they sort of fence off that section of City Walk in front of Pat O'Brien's. So, like, Off Kilter plays on the stage out there, and then when they're not playing, the dueling pianos are going on inside.
That's
Pat O'Brien's. You know, and of course, inside Universal Studios Florida, Finnegan's Bar, obviously, and Grill will be celebrating St. Patrick's Day. So, you know, there'll be all kinds of music and fun going on there. And then at the hotels, they have all kinds of different beer and drink specials and food and going on at Hard Rock and Lowe's Royal Pacific, Lowe's Sapphire Falls Resort. So all that is up on our website at thrillgeek.com for the top St. Patrick's Day offerings at Universal Orlando Resort.
And then, like I said, down the road at Disney, we've been there the past couple of years for their St. Patrick's Day, and they've invited us. They've kindly invited us out again this year for their St. Patrick's Day festival. So, what does Raglan Road got going on this year?
Yeah, the mighty St. Patrick's Festival is back at Raglan Road, and that's a 3-day event. And this is pretty much the biggest as far as the Central Florida area. This is one of the biggest St. Patrick's Day celebration, and it runs Friday, March 15th through Sunday, the 17th. And you're talking, you know, was it 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, over like 10 bands and artists, plus the Raglan Road Irish Dancers. You know, there'll be, for the kids, there'll be face painting, you know, during the day. You know, the pub will be open. It's open for reservations on the 15th and 16th, and then on 17th, St. Patrick's Day, it's first come, first served with a $10 cover charge for each 18 and older. So you can book reservations on the other days, but not on St. Patrick's Day. It's first come, first serve.
Yeah, and like I said, they invited us out once again, so we will be there on the first day, I believe it is, right? The media day is...
I think it's the media day is the day before on the 14th.
On the 14th, yeah. So we'll be out there the day before checking out some of the food.
Yeah, so if you tune into our social media, especially at Thrill Geek on Twitter, we'll have pictures of all the different food and drink. And that's one of the best things about that place is the food is so much good, so good. And
it is. I don't think I've had a bad food or drink at Raglan Road.
And they have so many beers on tap.
They have two bars.
Yeah, they have two gigantic bars. And also, if you like Guinness and you want to toast, you want a real Guinness poured the correct way, then it's one of the places to go.
And you're pretty fond of that. What's that one drink that you always get there? The strawberry? What is it?
Strawberry and lime cider, hard cider.
Yeah, hard cider. That's what it is.
I was going to say, if you like beer, they have a specialty beer there, which is called Dragon's Milk. It's like a 12%er, but it's very rich and it's very chocolatey and it's very good.
Yeah, I mean, they have a bunch of craft beers that I think a few of them that you can only, like, in this area get there and nowhere else.
Hmm. So, yeah, that's coming up. That's all the, well, not all of the, but two of the bigger St. Patrick's Day celebrations, at least somewhat theme park resort related, going on here in Orlando. So, moving on, Emily got to go to the Seven Seas Food Festival media event that they put together and got to go out there and try some of the food. And you guys actually stayed there. You came back and later and did a little live stream. Did you do that? You did it on Facebook, right?
Yeah. Facebook, but it is available on YouTube.com.
That's right. You did upload it to YouTube. So, Emily, how was your day at the Seven Seas Food Festival, and what'd you try?
Well, I'm not really going to complain because you guys kind of sent me to a media event where they gave us a bunch of free food. When we walked in, they gave us one of those five item samplers, which was awesome because those usually run like $30 retail. So that was actually they released us into the park afterwards and we could use that at any of the stands. which is really cool. When we walked in, they had two of the stands open, which were the Asian market and the Brazilian market. And that was pretty much, you can try whatever you want free of charge. So at the Asian market, we tried the Peking duck lo mein. They had a bao bun, which was like pork and pineapple. Mm-hmm. The two things I didn't try, but they looked good, were pork wrapped in bacon, because double pork. and
bacon, pork.
Yeah, and then they had like a salted ice cream, vanilla ice cream, which had caramel popcorn on top. So that was cool. I was just so full at the time that I was like, I cannot put anything more down my throat.
You got full quick.
Yeah.
Amateur.
I'm a thick girl, but I have a tiny tummy. But they also had a few of the alcoholic drinks available at that stand as well, which is pretty cool. They had a Sapporo beer and their frozen Lagoon Punch, which is like club soda and lychee liquor.
Yeah, so good.
Yeah.
Is that the blue one?
Yeah.
Yes.
Slushy kind of looking one?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then, at the Brazilian market, they had, like, a Brazilian steak. I am not going to pronounce this at all, because I'm not going to try to murder it, because I can't speak Spanish. But they had, like, a Brazilian cheese bread, and that was super yummy. And
I love it when you sent that picture to me to post on Twitter, you were like...
Cheese bread.
I don't know what it says in Spanish.
I don't even think I could type it out properly.
It's not Spanish.
Portuguese, excuse me, yes.
Yeah, Portuguese, yeah.
But yeah, I was like, my boyfriend, who's Hispanic, I was like, even if that's like remotely close in language-wise, can you tell me what that is? He's like, I have no idea. I cannot help you. And I'm like, cool, great, cheese bread. But yeah, they had a frozen Brazilian rum drink there as well, which was delicious. And then they didn't have like an official stand for it, but they did have some of the stuff from the Cuban market tent, which is like Cuban sliders, and those were really good. And they had like plantain chips. They had like a bananas Foster. I don't know so much if it was ice cream. It would almost look like whipped cream. I didn't try that, but it looked super yummy. And then after the whole event, we, like I said, they let us go out into the park. So we just aimlessly wandered. On Fridays, that's the day that we were there, it's actually BOGO day for drinks. So if you, it's only if you have like the Sip and Saver pass, whatever they call it there, the little lanyard, the sampler lanyard I'm talking about. Disney's California Adventure at the same time. But yeah, so if you can use one of your punches, and you can actually get two of the sample size of beer for the same price. So that was totally fun on my boyfriend's end. So we used most of that. But yeah, it was super fun, and it was just really nice for them to let us out into the park and actually explore the event on our own after that. And the other thing I just wanted to touch on super quick was that they announced that they were starting a beer club that day, which...
All the beer.
Yeah, you basically get, like, I forget the exact price of it, but I found out you can only do it online, only on their website you can purchase it, but you basically get, like, this collectible beer stein, and you can use that at both SeaWorld Orlando and Busch Gardens. So that is good for an entire year with their beer club. So I think that's pretty awesome.
Yeah, the brew club.
The brew club, yes.
It's $79.99 and includes a 20-ounce stein.
Yes, those things are huge.
Refills cost $5 inside Waterway Grill and other locations.
Which honestly really isn't bad when you look at the size of them. Like that much beer for $5.99, it's not bad at all.
And I read somewhere... You can get your stein personalized or something.
I didn't see that, but I imagine they do it. They said they did.
Where I saw it on Twitter. I don't know if that's what they meant, like you could put your name on it or something, but I saw somewhere that you can get the stein personalized. So if that's true, that's cool. But yeah, it's $79.99, so you know, it's a pretty good deal if you're, you know, especially if you're a pass holder. And you're at the park, you know, fairly often.
All the time, yeah.
Yeah.
Or if you're even going to Busch Gardens, you know, you're totally able to use it there.
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah, I mean, in the Seven Seas Food and Beverage Sampling Lanyards, a 10-item one is $50. A 15-item one is $65. However, if you're an annual pass holder, If you buy the $65 one, you get 20 punches instead of 15.
Yeah.
And that is an insane deal, because that comes out, I think, after tax to be like $335 a punch.
Yeah.
And a lot of these items are like $5.99, $6.99. There's some things that are $7.99.
And they're decent-sized portions, too.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say.
Some of them are decent-sized portions.
Yeah, from being there and like going to other events, like throwing Epcot under the bus. But seeing, you know, kind of what Disney puts out for their sample sizes compared to what I've seen personally at like SeaWorld, and we went to the Busch Gardens holiday one as well, just seeing what their prices are like and kind of the food that they give, I definitely would happily give SeaWorld $65 of my money to get a 20 punch card.
It's such a good deal.
And yeah, like, I mean, and it's good for the drinks, the food and the drinks. And the new thing they seem to be doing this year, because I don't think they did it for the holiday, a lot of the alcohol, the mixed frozen alcoholic drinks, like for the holiday one, you couldn't get it through using this, the sampler lanyard. And but this year, it seems like almost everything, you, except for the tastings, obviously, that they have throughout the park, you can use the sampling lanyard to get a sample sized version of even some of the most of the mixed drinks this year.
Yeah.
Which in the past, you had, if you wanted the mixed drinks, you usually had to buy like the full size version of the mixed drink.
Which defeats the purpose of it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Speaking of SeaWorld, we got a opening date for Sesame Street as well. Sesame Street will be opening officially on March 27th, and for those keeping track, that is the same exact day that Legoland Florida will be opening Lego Movie World.
Fight to the death.
Yes. So we have once again, kind of back, a couple of years ago when Disney opened Pandora Universal opened Volcano Bay. Needless to say, we're going to be very busy that day. As I said on Twitter, not only the opening day stuff, but the day before, the media previews are on March 26th for both SeaWorld, Sesame Street, and Lego Movie World. So hold on.
We
got to
chug
people.
A lot of coffee.
Which is it? I mean, it's just
push it on the highway.
And the funny thing too, and we're not knocking SeaWorld, but there's a pass holder preview on the 23rd and the 24th.
Mm-hmm.
So guess where morning of September 23rd, where all the bloggers, including probably one of us, are going to be at?
Yeah.
SeaWorld. So
you said September.
September. Sorry, March.
You got, well, not even September. I was going to say you got Galaxy's Edge on the brain.
Yes. But yeah, it's not the most ideal thing, but they've decided, you know, SeaWorld decided to open the same day, so.
And when they announced this, they unveiled some new concept artwork. We got to see some of the Sesame Street food trucks, which are absolutely adorable. And we got to see some concept artwork for Elmo's Choo Choo Train. What else? Oh, the Splash Yard. In the background, you can see Abby's Flower Tower,
you can see
Oscar's Slimy Slider, Slimy's whatever it is. The boat ride, the rocks back and forth. So you can see all that on ThrillGeek.com. I have all the concept artwork up there. So I'm excited. I went on the hard hat tour for Sesame Street, and I really like what they did with the area. Them knocking down the big net playground thing, I think, was the smartest thing they could have ever done. It opened up that area and made it look so much nicer.
Yeah.
So the fact that they're going to have a nice big splash yard now for the kids, people have been chomping at the bit to get this thing open because there's nothing to do in SeaWorld Orlando right now for the little ones.
Yeah. No, unfortunately.
So this, you know, I'm sure SeaWorld has been, you know, rushing to get this thing open, and I'm excited for it, you know, and Emily apparently is going to sob like a child when she first walks in. So.
No, my favorite thing was Clint going, I wonder who's going to come with me to the media thing, and I was like, if you don't take me, I will cry.
I didn't know you were that into Sesame Street. So
what? Some things we just don't grow out of. So
well, it wouldn't have mattered whether it was her or Sin coming. They would have still been crying. But Unikitty will be coming with me to Legoland, Florida.
Yeah. So
I don't know. I just, for me, I guess there's just like so much nostalgia with the Jim Henson Company.
Oh yeah.
That, you know, if you're giving me the chance to walk through Sesame Street, like there is no way I'm not gonna be like, oh my god, this is the best thing ever.
Yeah.
So
I'm sure for me, it's like there'll be, mommy, why is a grown man crying?
Because he has feelings, sweetie.
And that's one of the cool things about this Sesame Street coming to SeaWorld Orlando. You know, some of the other Busch parks, they have Sesame Street sections, but they're not Sesame Street. This is Sesame Street. You are walking down Sesame Street.
Yeah, outside of Sesame Place, there wasn't a real actual Sesame Street in any of the parks. I mean, Tampa has Safari of Fun.
Yeah, exactly.
And then Busch Gardens is like a... Busch Gardens Williamsburg is like a European Hamlet, because yeah, it's right next to their England section. So it's two totally different, you know, none of them have had, so you know, it looks like all the Sea Worlds are going to get a full blown Sesame Street, so
as yeah. They should.
Yeah.
So look for that in the coming weeks here. We'll obviously bring you guys all sorts of coverage as usual on all of our social media channels. I'm looking forward to it. So excuse
dark
me
arts.
Yeah. anybody know what's the Potter snake language called?
Parseltongue.
Yeah. We're moving on to talking about both Universal Studios Universal Orlando Resort and Universal Studios Hollywood announced a new Dark Arts at Hogwarts Castle nighttime show.
Yes.
I'm pretty excited about this because I've always been, you know, me being obsessed with Halloween, I've always wanted Universal to kind of explore the darker side of Harry Potter, because, you know, over in Universal Studios Japan...
Mm-hmm. They have full-blown Death Eaters.
They have, like, full-blown Death Eaters walking around, and they I think they didn't do it last year. They've actually done trick-or-treating in Hogsmeade a couple years back. So when Universal announced this, I was pretty excited that we're going to be getting something a little more darker, a little more evil, so to speak. It's called Dark Arts at Hogwarts Castle. And according to Universal, it is a, quote, mesmerizing pageantry of light, music, and special effects that will unleash the darkest creatures and villains from the wizarding world, including the powerful dark wizard Lord Voldemort. Do I say his name?
He who shall not be named.
Yeah, he who shall not be named. So
I was about to say, you already said it, so I mean...
Oopsie.
What do you guys think about this? Do you think it'll be... you think it should be pretty cool, or what do you guys think?
Well, yeah, because, I mean, I think, me personally, my favorite part of Diagon Alley is Nocturne Alley.
Mm-hmm.
Number one, because it's extremely air-conditioned in the...
yeah.
Blazing Florida sun, but also because that part, at least, like if you look up, like it just looks like you're in the night sky. It's so immersive in there, and it's just, you feel just kind of uneasy at the same time. So it's the fact that
I think
they know that it's so popular with fans, at least of the series, and just people that are coming into the park, that they're willing to take a chance and make a whole show out of it, I think is pretty awesome.
Yeah, and I think, you know, we've had the holiday show, and then we've had the houses show, and the holiday show was definitely a lot better than the houses show, and if this adds a third show into the rotation for different times of the year, then I'm all for it, and especially with going with the dark type stuff, I think visually it's going to be more on the level, or maybe even surpass the holiday show as far as like visuals and the whole lighting design and all that. So it should be pretty cool.
Yeah, I do actually hope that they keep this for a little while instead of the house show.
Yeah.
And Universal Studios Hollywood actually announced a premiere event for this new show. It's going to include after-hours access to Hogsmeade Village, where you'll be able to ride the rides and attractions inside Hogsmeade. And then, of course, you'll be able to see the show, and then guests will be treated to a premium catered feast of foods, beverages, and desserts as part of this exclusive opportunity. Again, this is only for Hollywood. Orlando didn't announce this because they're starting the show later. The show starts at Hollywood on April... Where did I have it here? April 11th.
April 11th and the 12th.
Yeah. And then, as I said, Universal Orlando announced that they'll be announcing their dates at a later time for the show.
I don't think it'll be too far behind, though.
Yeah, I don't know if they're waiting. You know, they tore down the old bypass bridge and they're putting in a new one.
Oh, true.
I don't know if they're waiting, and that's allegedly supposed to be done by fall.
Yeah.
So I don't know if they're waiting for that to be done before they start the show here. Because I don't know. I don't think they're running any shows right now, are they?
Islands of Adventure?
Yeah, I don't think they're running the nighttime show at all right now at Islands.
No. So. They're definitely not showing the Christmas one.
Just one day, they're just like, "Yeah, we're only going to do Christmas all year long."
They could. I wouldn't be against it. I love that show.
It's. I think there's the construction issues is probably one of the reasons why they haven't announced a date. So.
Yeah, and then of course, you know, we're getting new Potter coaster details soon. So.
Well, did you see the picture of BioReconstruct? He did another one of his infamous helicopter tours, but you can actually see the fluffy animatronic.
Yeah. I saw that.
So that's cool.
We will be getting all these details. Well, we're recording today, but we'll have more details on the Potter coaster next recording. Let's leave it at that.
You know, we did an entire podcast about Star Wars Galaxy's Edge. I re-listened to it.
Yeah.
And based on this next thing that happened, you could literally throw out the last 15 minutes of that podcast.
Whoops. What did we talk about? The opening
date? The opening dates and how they're going to do this. And
I think everybody was wrong.
Bob Iger actually listened to our podcast, and he was like, "I'm going to prove those guys
I'm going to prove those Thrill Geek guys wrong."
I mean, we weren't far off about Disneyland, but there's one major detail that has changed.
In both cases,
but obviously the big news late last week at the shareholders meeting was the opening dates for Galaxy's Edge. And once again, let's put these opening dates in quotation marks, because Disneyland Galaxy's Edge at Disneyland will open May 31st, 2019. Walt Disney World Resort will open August 29th, 2019. However. Disneyland's isn't that much earlier than what was originally thought, and obviously Walt Disney World's is way earlier than thought.
Nobody expected August.
Yeah. Nobody. However, when both locations open, the land will be opening, and Millennium Falcon Smuggler's Run will open on those dates, but Star Wars Rise of the Resistance will open at a later date in the year.
Sigh.
So basically, we're getting a scheduled soft opening.
Yeah, it's, you know, and I think it's smart for Disney to do this, because now you've split it up. Now you've got people, you've got the hardcore Star Wars fans that are going to wait until Rise of the Resistance is open.
You got the hardcore Star Wars fans who are going to come no matter what.
Yeah.
But you
got the people that are planning a vacation, and they're going, well, if the whole thing's not going to be open, we might as well wait now.
I think it really came down to is Smuggler's Run. It's a simulator attraction, so testing has been going on before the full blown attraction at both parks has been built.
Oh yeah, there's no doubt, right?
And that ride apparently, allegedly, I mean, especially at Disneyland, it's been at least the inside part of the attraction is done. They've been running the simulators
Yeah, I mean, we've seen video inside of some of the simulators.
Yeah, so it's not shocking that that's ready to go. And obviously the land will be done too. Obviously, Rise of the Resistance is taking them longer than they thought, and it's not a shock considering it literally, based on everything we've been told, the little previews we've seen, it is completely unlike any other attraction Disney or really any other theme park in the world has created before.
Yeah.
You know, it's a level of immersion that we've never seen in an attraction before, and it's taking, you know, it's going to, this, we all knew that this was the thing that's going to take a lot of time to test and adjust. And I feel like, you know, they knew this other, the rest of the land was going to be done. But, you know, Rise of the Resistance is not ready and wouldn't have made, you know, at least the target, the original target date in Disneyland. So, you know, I guess they decided to go ahead and say, let's open the doors. And
yeah. Now, Emily, are you a pretty hardcore Star Wars fan? I don't know how much of a Star Wars fan are you?
I mean, I do have a TIE fighter tattooed onto my body, so okay. There's that.
So you're somewhat of a fan.
Just a little bit.
Just a tad.
So yeah, there's a few other opening day snidbits that I kind of wanted to touch on. Fast Pass will not be offered for Smuggler's Run or Rise of the Resistance apparently when it opens. At least Yay. That's what
Yay.
Yeah.
Some people were whining about this online. It's like, now you and everyone else has an equal opportunity.
Yeah, you're going to wait in a line.
Yeah, and it's going to be a much shorter line than if
it'll move quicker too. Yeah, because you don't have Fastpass stopping it.
I mean, they're probably going to put Fastpass in at some point, though. You right?
Oh yeah, no,
I'm not doubting that. No,
the queues were built with Fastpass.
Oh, okay. I was going to be like, ooh.
Okay. No. This is just a, you know, Disney knowing the insanity that this thing's going to bring in,
yeah.
Holding off on, you know, flipping the switch for Fast Pass because of the insane crowds.
I think it's smart because then that takes care of the who to, you know, once we reach capacity inside the land, then what do? You know, it was like, oh, if you have a Fast Pass, you get to go in. But it's like that gets rid of that.
Yeah.
That problem. And it's just like, you know, however they're going to do it, whether it's return times or you know, someone joked today that they're just going to turn Muppet Vision into a giant indoor queue.
No.
You know,
I will fight to the death
kinda goes
for that.
But, like I said, and then at Disneyland, the first, 20, 30 days, you're going to have to make a reservation.
Yeah, that was going to be the next thing I was going to talk about. At Disneyland, between May 31st and June 23rd, obviously you'll need theme park admission to get into Galaxy's Edge, but you will also need a no-cost reservation. And they didn't announce details about this reservation system, whether it's going to be something you do on your phone.
It'll most likely be through the app.
Yeah. Or it's, you know, I remember back in the day when Hogsmeade opened, they were handing out paper return times, like paper fast passes.
Yeah.
Back when the first Wizarding World expansion opened. So this is just Disneyland. Apparently for here in Orlando, you will not need a reservation return time. But at Disneyland, between May 31st and June 23rd, you will need a no-cost reservation to get into Galaxy's Edge.
But we were even talking about that when we were at Hollywood Studios doing the live stream. I really just don't know how, if they don't do a reservation return time to get into Galaxy's Edge, I do not know how they're going to queue people in that park.
What, Disneyland or Hollywood
No, Hollywood Studios.
Here. Whether it's, yeah, I just,
there, I really doubt that Disney is not going to do a return time for Hollywood Studios. They have to. There's no place for anyone to go in that park.
Yeah.
They're just going to let the queue run down by the bar, down ABC Commissary, all the way down Hollywood Boulevard.
I mean, if they're cool with me just sitting at Baseline Tap House just, you know, for 8 hours drinking beer, then yeah. Sure, but...
Well, no, I mean, that's like we discussed before, I imagine they will come up with something, because the last thing they want is one quarter of the people in the park who are not in Galaxy's Edge and want to get in, stuck in a line, not spending any money. You know,
yeah.
They want them out doing some other stuff and spending money, and so we'll wait and see. Like I said, it's one thing, you know, it's going to change the way Disneyland is, but Disneyland's a big giant park with a ton of attractions. Hollywood Studios is not.
Yeah.
But also think of it this way, is that if they are going to leave the park, there are three other parks. For Disneyland, there is only one other park. So
yeah, but you got to remember too, those two parks at Disneyland, at the Disneyland Resort, have almost as many attractions as all four parks here.
Oh no, I'm just saying that there are three other places, you know, here at least we can shove other people into for the time being.
Yeah, I mean, land wise, yeah, there's more people, but like things to do, it's about the same.
Yeah. So yeah, we have opening dates for Sesame Street. We have opening dates for Lego Movie World, and now we have opening dates for Star Wars Galaxy's Edge. So
yeah, the absolute positively hottest time of the year.
Yeah,
it's opening here.
Yeah, I saw the August 29th, and I was like, why?
I want to go to. I love Star Wars. I want to go to that media event, and then part of me is like, it's in August.
Born in August, so
yeah.
Trust me, I can't do anything for my birthday month.
Yeah.
So, all right. Next, we're going to. I think that's it for
theme park goodies.
Really quick, we're gonna touch on the final Game of Thrones trailer, which was. Was it last week?
Yes.
You know,
that's all you guys. I haven't caught up with the show yet.
Oh, okay. So we'll have to. Where are you in the show?
Oh my god, like season 5. Don't talk to me about it. It's really sad.
Well, I mean, the good thing with this final trailer and all the few teasers they've had, they have not given anything away.
Yeah, that's when you when you messaged me the timeline for the podcast today, I'm like, what are we going to talk about for the Game of Thrones trailer? Because they really don't show a whole lot.
I mean, it basically begins with Arya running what looks like through the catacombs of Winterfell.
Yeah.
Assuming that she's running away from either a White Walker or the Army of the Dead or maybe some of the dead Starks have risen from the grave.
From Winterfell, yeah.
From Winterfell. You see some of the dragons. You see, you know, them getting ready for what we already know is the Battle of Winterfell, which we've been told is the longest filmed battle ever on television. Like, it's going to take up an entire episode.
Yeah.
I've seen
several tweets on that final battle scene, just like horror stories out of it. Like they had like actors like passing out and just injuries and just all sorts of insanity. So
yeah, I'm trying. I don't know if they released how long it took to shoot that episode, but I can't remember if I saw somewhere that it was 2 months.
Jesus.
But you know, this trailer. I think this trailer...
Probably more than 2 months to shoot that one episode.
Yeah. The biggest thing with the internet this day and age are rumors and fan theories. And I seriously think HBO designed this trailer for people to dissect and come up with their own theories.
Yeah.
Because there's details in the trailer, but they're so vague. You could take them and twist them and turn them into anything you want. So I'm excited, and we literally get this and Endgame within like a week of each other, don't we?
Yeah, pretty much, at least, yeah. So
I think it's like a week or so. We get Endgame and the final season of Game of Thrones. So
yeah,
it's like
the Battle of Winterfell took 55 days to shoot.
That's insane.
Yeah, the previous, like the Battle of the Bastards, was 25 days to shoot.
Wow.
So,
That's crazy. So yeah, I'm excited. You know, me and Cheryl, we were late Game of Thrones adoptees, but we're all cut up, and you know, we're patiently waiting for this new season. So I'm excited. Get caught up, Emily.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
So here's something you can talk about, Emily. You can hit the floor running with this one. Captain Marvel.
Higher, farther, faster.
Is it that order?
Yes.
I think so, yeah.
I know the three words, but I can never get the order right. Higher, further, faster.
Yeah, Captain Marvel opened and broke a few records. It had a $154 million opening in North America, combined with $302 million worldwide overseas for $456 million opening weekend, which makes it the second biggest superhero opening of all time after, of course, Avengers Infinity War.
And it's the sixth best opening of all time for any movie.
Sixth best global debut of any movie. And also, as of today, the Marvel Cinematic Universe itself will have crossed above $18 billion across 21 films.
That's insane. And how much did Disney purchase Marvel for? Star Wars?
Oh, how much was... Oh, God.
I can't remember how much Disney paid for Marvel. It wasn't that much, though.
They know it was. It was.
You talking like they bought them out for like $12.50?
They
like,
basically did.
$4 billion in 2009, 10 years ago.
And they've made $18 billion with the Marvel Cinematic Universe. So yeah, you know, I saw it. Emily, you saw it. Barry, you saw it. So we'll do a spoiler-free review. So
yes, we will try to keep it spoiler-free, but if you don't want to listen to it, then just skip to the end of the podcast.
Yeah. So, Emily, I'm going to kind of give you the show floor here. And, you know, like I said, let's keep it spoiler-free. But what did you think of the film? Because you told me, I learned this today, you're a huge fan of the Captain Marvel comic books.
Yeah, probably like about 5 years ago when, you know, people still had Tumblr, there was like a huge post that was like, hey, free comics, just download them. And there was just a huge chunk of Captain Marvel ones. I'm like, whatever, I'm bored, I'll read them. And I don't know, but it just, out of all like the free comics that post gave me, it just, she stuck out so much to me. So it was just really cool to see that Marvel was, at least their first female-driven movie was going to be her.
Mm-hmm.
And my boyfriend and I, we usually don't go to the movies, like, when they first open. But I was like, if we don't go see Captain Marvel opening weekend, I will die. Like, I have to go see this movie. But yeah, it was just... I liked it so much because it was just so different. If we're thinking about any type of movie that has a female lead, there's no love interest.
Yeah.
Like, mm-hmm. The closest relationship that she has is, you know, her back and forth banter with Nick Fury.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And Maria, who is her female pilot friend. Like, those are her two relationships mostly in the movie that mean the most to her.
Because even Wonder Woman had a love interest.
Yeah. So, I mean, and I don't want to, like, you know, obviously pit the two movies against each other.
No,
whether
Wonder
Woman versus Captain Marvel or DC versus, you know, Marvel.
Yeah,
but
I mean Wonder Woman and Wonder Woman's love interest, Steve Trevor, is really part of her origin story too.
Yeah.
So
well, that was the whole thing too with the Captain Marvel comics, is like, she don't need no man. So
yeah.
It was nice, at least when they did decide to finally make a movie for her, that they didn't try to, like, you know, shove Ryan Gosling in there. So I really appreciated that. But what I liked about it too mostly is that it's an origin story that just keeps revealing itself as it goes along. You can go in there not knowing a single thing about her, and then coming out you're like, wow, I want to be her. So mm-hmm. That's super cool. But yeah, I mean, even as we're sitting there and we're waiting for the end credits, like, there's a little girl, maybe like 10 years old, like five seats down from me, and I just hear her go, I want to be Captain Marvel. And awesome. I just started crying. And I'm like, it's okay, such I'm a sobbing. Weird thing. Yeah, it's like such a weird thing, but it's like, this is what these kind of movies are doing for little girls. They're empowering them and they're showing that, you know, you can be strong by yourself and you can, do anything that you put your mind to. So I think that's really cool that, you know, a 10-year-old child in the movie theater is like, I want to be her.
No, I completely agree. And, you know, I left the movie. I was like, I wanted to be a woman watching that movie just to have that completely different feeling, like that little, like you said, like that little girl had, because I love the movie. And, you know, I had my personal issues with it. But overall, like I said on Twitter, I loved it. I thought Brie was excellent.
Oh, yeah. That was the other thing is, like, you would never guess that she's, I mean, if you watch, like, at least her filmography, mm-hmm. she's been in popular main roles, but she's never been the main character. And seeing her never be in a Marvel movie or anything before, like, she totally owned it. Like, you would have never guessed that you've never seen this character before just from the way that, you know, the confidence she exuded and everything like that. It was just awesome.
Yeah, no, I mean, I've been a fan of her since she was the daughter on the Showtime show United States of Terra.
Yes.
And she this is, what, 10 years ago. Even then, she was so good at doing drama and sort of like a sort of sarcastic type comedy, which was perfect for this role. Because, I mean, that's the thing that the trailers really, really didn't do it justice to her performance. And because, you know, she sort of caught that, you know, the Captain Marvel, Carol Danvers, is always, at least in the comics, has had sort of this sort of like...
Oh, she's snarky.
Yeah, she's snarky. I love it. She's snarky, and even though she's a badass, she's sometimes a little bit of a goofball, too. And you know, they caught that perfectly, and like I said, the trailers did not do her performance justice. But in the movie, she was just perfect, spot on with everything. Everybody was. I don't think anybody did a bad job. And the great thing about those trailers, you never saw the twist. You didn't see the twist coming that they pulled.
No, not at all.
And then obviously, if you did a good job
of hiding that.
Yeah, well, the thing is, too, if you go, you base it on what you know about the comics, then you're not expecting that twist.
Yeah.
Because you know, the villains are totally different in the comic books compared to this movie. And, you know, not spoiling it. And they really pulled a switcheroo, which really shouldn't have not been noticeable, because, you know, the Kree are not exactly, they sort of walk this line of good and bad guys. You know, I mean, you've got people like, you know, by the time Guardians of the Galaxy happens, like Ronan is in this movie, you know, and by the time the Guardians of the Galaxy happens, he's spun off into his own, you know, left the Kree Empire and is going around killing people.
Yeah.
Purifying places. And so it was interesting to see, so, you know, you saw a couple of the characters that are in Guardians of the Galaxy, but you got to see a little bit more of the whole Kree civilization in this one, which I think is, you know, the cosmic in this next phase is going to play a lot more importance in the next phase of the Marvel Universe. So you got to see a little bit more of the cosmic part of it, even though it took place back in the 90s.
And I'm a huge sucker for scores. I love the score, the soundtrack, all the 90s. Excuse me, all the 90s references I loved. You know, the jokes and everything, you know, were great. And then, of course, we got Goose, who absolutely steals the show. The kitty cat brings in the... aside from Nick Fury, I think Goose is the other one that brings in a big part of the humor in the movie, some of the parts with the cat. So I enjoyed it. It was a good segue to Endgame. And not only that, it was a good origin story for her. Like I said, my two issues were And then I thought about it more when I got home. That, you know, I posted that tweet like literally like as I was walking out of the movie theater, and I thought about it more. The two things I mentioned were, I wish things were there were certain things that I wish were explained a little bit better in the movie, mm-hmm. and at times I felt like there was too much backstory. And then I kind of digested the movie a little bit more, and I was like, well, it's kind of a mix of those things altogether. I wish the backstory was explained a little bit better. I think kind of combining those two things were my only issue with the movie. I wish we had more time to explore her backstory. It just felt like I got it all at once, you know?
Well, that was kind of, I just disagree a little bit, only because as I think about it is, yes, you know, there is a little bit of inconsistency with the backstory and everything like that.
Yeah.
But I think Marvel movies as of late rely so much on dropping another character from another Marvel movie mm-hmm. in there. Mm-hmm. And this one literally was like, I will give you Coulson and I will give you Nick Fury, and that is all you get. Yeah. Like, this is what we have to go off of. This is what you're going to enjoy. Sit down for 2.5 hours. Have fun. Like, it wasn't like, oh, well, you know, Chris Evans is going to stroll in any second now. It was nice not to have, you know, Robert Downey Jr. sweet money. And then,
I don't think it has anything to do with them. I just think, I mean, I don't know. I know the basics about her story, but I feel like they could have almost like a TV show or something to explain her backstory a little bit better.
Well, I think it starts with her in a confused state.
Yeah.
You know, and the good thing is it's not a straightforward backstory. It's seen in flashbacks. You're learning her past at the same time she is. And I think that's what one of the things that made it really, I like the way they did that.
Yeah.
And you know, we haven't really had, I mean, Ant-Man 4 years ago was the last time we had a origin story film.
Yeah.
Yeah. Or was it Doctor Strange after that?
It was Doctor Strange
after that. So we don't get them. We're not getting as many origin story films anymore. And I liked that they switched it up. I liked the younger Nick Fury, where he wasn't all Mr. Serious yet.
Well, that was the other nice thing too, is that you cannot tell any CGI in that.
Oh my God, they
that was so good.
They have like mastered the whole de-aging thing.
The thing with Coulson and Fury was phenomenal. Like you couldn't tell at all that there was any CG involved in them in de-aging them.
He looked like 1990s Samuel L. Jackson.
Yeah. Well, that was the thing, like, we just watched Unbreakable the other day, and then we went right into watching this movie, and we're like, oh my God, they got that spot on.
Yeah, it's like going back and like watching like Pulp Fiction. Samuel L. Jackson.
I mean, I love the soundtrack and the score. I've already been like listening to it on Spotify. You know, they obviously they got a lot of the 90s things correct. That the whole scene with the CD loading was freaking hilarious. Just the comedy beat of that.
Cheryl went and saw it, and she was like, there were people around her that they didn't get the joke, like youngins.
And of course, we haven't even talked about the Marvel Studios fanfare for this one, which was basically one giant tribute to Stan Lee.
Oh my God, I cried.
Sin was like, I cried, Sin cried. That was such a great little sweet little tribute. And
I did like that they, a little bit of a spoiler, but they did actually have a cameo from him in the movie.
Oh, and it was such perfection with having him reading his lines from the Mallrats script, which was 1995.
Yep.
It just was hilarious that they threw that in there. And I think they got almost there was maybe a couple little 90s things that were slightly off time wise, but all the music was correct. And and then of course, I know it's hard to talk about it without spoiling it, but holy crap, that mid-credit scene. I mean, you had in my theater I was in, there was an audible gasp when that thing popped up.
Yeah.
I was just like laughing maniacally. I was like, "Ah, yes."
Yeah. No, and that was pretty awesome.
And it really set up Endgame, and it definitely confirmed some things after we saw that first teaser trailer about some of those shots in that teaser trailer, where it looked like someone wasn't there. We'll talk about it probably the week before Endgame comes, but it's got all different theories going into my head now of how Endgame's going, what they're going to do in the beginning of Endgame. So, because that answered like a huge gigantic question in that mid-credits scene.
Yeah. So yeah, that's our thoughts on Captain Marvel. So
go see it. I'm already going to see it again this week. So
yeah, I'll probably
I'll
probably go take Jordan. Jordan hasn't seen it yet, so I'll probably take him a second time here. If I can squeeze it in before we leave for our Georgia road trip here soon, because he hasn't
road
seen
trip.
It.
So yeah,
I imagine in probably a week or two we're gonna get the Endgame a new Endgame trailer along with tickets going on sale. So
yeah,
one would hope.
And you know, don't listen to the naysayers out there. There's so much negativity about this film. Don't listen to it
from people who haven't even seen it.
Yeah,
I'm about had it up to here with those people. So
there were people before the movie was out leaving bad reviews on Rotten Tomatoes and stuff like that for Captain Marvel. So
yeah, I mean Rotten Tomatoes, it they finally changed the way they do audience score, but it still doesn't stop people from leaving bad reviews once the movie's out.
Yeah,
they've seriously got a problem on their hands if they want to be considered a reliable website when it comes to audience scores, because people have figured out how to game the system there.
Yeah,
they're just trolls.
Yeah, and it's just I don't understand people. It's like
nope.
I don't have time on my hands to be negatively ripping stuff. It's like if I don't like it, I don't like it. I'm not going to lose my.
I'm not going to take the time to create like fake Rotten Tomatoes accounts to go write bad reviews for the movie.
Can you imagine not having any time in your life? You just do that all day long.
I wish I had time to do that. I wish I had time to go in and destroy a movie with fake reviews. I don't, though.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, I have a life.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, I mean, it's just ever since Force Awakens came out, it just keeps getting worse and worse. Which I just find funny. It's like, oh my God, Star Wars has this badass female character. Yeah, the original Star Wars had a badass female character.
Yeah. Rotten Tomatoes wasn't out back then, but given...
I mean, in 1977, Princess Leia was pretty ahead of her time, so...
Yeah. So, you know, don't listen to the negative commentary, the negative reviews, the negative comments on Facebook, Twitter, whatever. Go out, enjoy this movie. It's a fun time. You will, as all three of us are saying, you will love it. So, all right, ladies and gentlemen, I think that wraps it up for us this week.
Yes.
I may actually... some housekeeping notes here. Since we posted an episode on Sunday, I may actually hold this one off so people aren't like bombarded.
Well, thank you for telling them now at the end of the podcast.
Yeah, so sorry.
You wanted this? You can't have it.
I always find it funny when you do the housekeeping notes. It's like, you know, they're listening to it right now.
I need
now,
to do it at the beginning.
You've already posted this episode. You're telling them that I'm not posting it until
I got to go back to the future. But anyways, yeah, I haven't figured out when, but
I gotta go back to the future.
Yeah. Speaking of which, the time change is still spring forward is still killing me.
Oh, this morning sucked.
This morning was awful.
I gotta be at work at 8:30 tomorrow morning. So
yeah. Well, get to bed. We'll wrap things up here.
You know me, I party all night long.
Yeah, you're a party animal. You party animal. You. So
what time is it? Midnight?
Yeah.
All right.
Having three kids and their bed schedule gets all out of whack.
Yeah. Well, I only have the three fuzzy babies.
Yeah.
And they sleep all the time anyway.
So. I have no kids and I'm self-employed. I'm good.
Well, you can borrow Charlotte anytime, Emily.
I will, actually. She's a sweetheart.
You fell in love with her when you were over here the other day, so you can come over and kidnap her anytime.
Watch it. She'll use that love against you.
Yeah.
They always do.
All right. We are at Thrill Geek on Twitter and Instagram. Facebook.com/ThrillGeek, where you can see our weekly Thrill Geek Live program live on Facebook when we do it. On Facebook Live. Live. And YouTube.com/ThrillGeek.
Are we live?
Please subscribe to the YouTube channel where you can check out. We got a bunch of Star Wars videos, and that's also where Thrill Geek Live goes after we go live on Facebook. For you to see forever.
And ever.
ThrillGeek.com for the latest in theme park and pop culture news.
Yay, you did it.
And you are listening to the Thrill Geek podcast, available wherever podcasts are sold. And remember, if you want to book some travel, ThrillGeek.com/travel.
Yeah, and we got I got the easy form for you ready to go. So fill it out, and Jen will get back with you and make your vacation planning a whole lot easier. And then once again, if you listen to us on iTunes, we greatly appreciate it if you throw in a review for us there. It helps us out greatly.
Yes, we've gotten 13 5-star reviews. So
yeah, and apparently I read up more on it. People can rate the podcast without reviewing it, so it doesn't show up how many ratings we got, but actual reviews do show up. So yeah, if you listen to us on iTunes, please take a few seconds and rate us and throw a little review in for us. We greatly appreciate that. What else? I'll have the I'm wrapping up the Star Wars Galaxy's Edge quick start guide. That'll be up soon, after all the website issues I had yesterday. That kind of slowed me down.
There are only more things to be announced about Star Wars for you to hand to the quick start.
And like I said, next week we'll have all of the, apparently Universal's announcing all the Hagrid coaster. I'm not going to say the whole name. The Hagrid coaster. I'm just going to start calling it that.
Let's go ride Hagrid. Hagrid's.
Let's go ride Hagrid. We'll have all the details for that to discuss on next week's episode. So, yeah. I think that's it. Emily, thank you once again for joining us.
Anytime.
We'll shoot this again next week. So thank you guys again for listening, and we will see you guys next week.
Bye.
See you in the parks.